Today on Compassion Radio.
Global Times, I believe it was, said 5G is now officially here.
Mm-hmm.
And 5G is not just faster internet and better phone service. It has to do with an ability for total surveillance. And the house churches are going to have trouble hiding. I'd see a new reality for them. Now, will they stop being believers? Of course not. Will they stop sharing their faith? I certainly hope not.
Mm-hmm.
But how they meet, how they congregate will be different. The registered churches are also under immense pressure.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way. You know, many of us have seen the recent images of the Chinese Communist government cracking down on the people of Hong Kong simply because they want to live free. Well, today, Bram catches up with our anonymous friend, Dr. China, who updates us in a way that you won't hear on any of the mainstream news outlets. Here's part two of that conversation.
Since you and I talked last about the whole scope of China and what it means for Christians here, or should mean, and what it is like for those who believe and practice their faith in China, a lot of stuff has come up in the months since. The biggest one, of course, which continues to be on the news cycle every day, is the issue of Hong Kong.
To the average Christian inside of China, Hong Kong is really not on their radar screen. They would admit that Hong Kong is a part of China. Legally, historically, and it's about time that it came back, and they would probably be supportive of that. The deeper issue right now is as Xi Jinping is changing his tune, and in the 2017 regulations, it's become very apparent that it's not just wording changes, but there's teeth to it.
Yeah.
And the dual citizenship of true believers is going to be a challenge. Here in America, we can say, I am a proud USA citizen. I'm also a devoted follower of Jesus Christ, and hold the two somewhat, together with, while there's tensions to be sure, because the U.S. government doesn't demand I be an atheist.
Right.
To be an effective member of citizenry.
It's not a paradox yet because there's not a supreme law that
not
demands
yet.
Allegiance.
Not yet. It may come to it. But at the moment, we can do that. We're allowed to be a committed follower of Jesus and also an American citizen. It's getting more and more difficult. And in recent days, since 2017, moving forward, especially last year, they're expecting flags to be shown inside the church, outside the church.
Mm-hmm.
Many churches seem to feel required to sing or play the national anthem. Now, again, if it was just Chinese pride and nationality, we've had 4th of July services in which we sang patriotic songs.
We honor our armed services and celebrate their days of recognition.
Of course. So I don't think we want to become anti-Chinese. But when the party says we are in control of everything, as Xi Jinping did in his speech, we control everything from north to south, east to west, and we are atheistic, it's a little concerning for the Christians, to put it mildly. Then the twofold purpose of Xi Jinping now and the party is twofold in regards to all religion, not just Protestantism.
Yes.
First, minimize it. If your cross shows by a bullet train or by a major freeway, take it down.
Mm-hmm.
In Hernan, the crosses have been torn down with impunity.
Yes.
In Zhejiang, we see more and more of that. Now, it's not even across the country, but it's a concern.
As we traveled on our last trip to China, I noticed in that long stretch, maybe 1,000 miles of rail, that I could count at least a few dozen major edifices that had a cross or some kind of Christian symbol on it that were visible to these major thoroughfares. And they're all in different states along the way. So each of these districts of China have different governances, and some are more liberal than others on a certain level. But you're saying now that Xi Jinping is seeing this himself from his own train cars and saying we need to unify our policy about the visibility of these kind of religions.
I want to minimize the presence of religion. So it's not dominant. It's not, it doesn't continue to grow. You know, if their view is to grow the Communist Party, no question, the single biggest threat to them is evangelical Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that. And so I don't think any of us can argue it. And if people have a deep allegiance to God of heaven, no matter how you craft it, it's a little less allegiance to the new emperor.
Let me ask you a question real quickly about their perception of evangelical Christianity in relationship to the other major religions. I was kind of surprised in visiting some of these, we might call them embassies of religion in the cities that we visited, that they literally stack a layer cake of religions in the same building. They have interface offices with these different religious leaders in those areas, and they start at the bottom floor and work way at the top. You'll pass through Muslim floors and Taoism and things, and then you'll pass through Catholic. At the very top of each building was literally the evangelical Christian liaison office, as if they were giving grudging acknowledgement that that particular religion is the one that most people in the country themselves would see as being the most active and the most of interest to us as a government. Is that the way they see Christianity and in relation to the other major religions of the country?
Well, I think it's a little kept secret that evangelical Christianity was the fastest growing segment of religion in China for at least a 20-year period, maybe longer. Their concern is that the allegiance could conflict with the control yeah. of the party. To understand the Communist Party, just understand one word, control.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think they're necessarily picking on Protestantism as opposed to Buddhism and Islamic. And another word that crept into the new documents is extremism.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, if we look at the last 150, 200 years, religious extremism has been a major cause of disharmony in China.
Yeah.
The Taiping Rebellion, the Boxer Rebellion, even though the Boxer Rebellion was not religious in nature per se, these people did, the martial artists did seem to have some demonic control. But Hudson Taylor even said, God has opened a great door of opening for Christianity, and he was referring to the Boxer Rebellion. These historic realities, and we've done entire lectures on this now, cause the party to say whenever we have religious extremists, we have disharmony and disunity in our country. And as Bible believers, we have a great commission. And my goal isn't to just be involved in social activity, but it's to make sure people understand they need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, that does divide.
On principle and in practice, for sure.
And Jesus said, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. And so I think that as Bible believers, we need to not be in denial. And while our purpose is not to destroy the country of China, but to help a healthy yeah. China, you can understand why a non-believer wouldn't appreciate that. And 1 Corinthians says the unregenerate person, the unsaved person, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God nor understand them. And so we have to, I think, move with wisdom and gentleness, but not back away from the clear claims of the gospel.
Fair enough. You have been given a special relationship with many people in power and authority across China and those who work internationally to represent the nation. So you're well versed in the nuances, as you mentioned earlier, the 2 feet of China on your business card. And they pick up on those subtle things because they're actually paying attention. What do you see, Doctor, about the future for the Christian church in China, those who are disciples of the way, those who follow Christ and are obedient to the purposes that he set for us, to care for the needy and the orphan and to bring the news of the kingdom as far as you can possibly bring it? What's coming?
I believe that the Christians inside of China are going to have a new reality. An official at the United Front has told me very plainly, not in a mean-spirited way, just said, we're going to give the house churches 2 more years to register, and then we're going to shut them down. Global Times, I believe it was, said 5G is now officially here.
Mm-hmm.
And 5G is not just faster internet and better phone service.
Yeah, it's persistent communication.
It has to do with an ability for total surveillance. Yeah. And the house churches are going to have trouble hiding.
Mm-hmm.
I'd see a new reality for them. Now, will they stop being believers? Of course not. Will they stop sharing their faith? I certainly hope not.
Mm-hmm.
But how they meet, how they congregate will be different.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. The second half of today's conversation is coming up right after this.
Hi, friends. Here's a quick update on our growth goals for the rest of 2019. To start with, a big thank you to all who responded to our summer challenge. We've grown our vision team larger than ever, and that means we can focus more on the ministry opportunities that are coming our way. We still have two important goals to reach this year in order to take on some faith-stretching and desperately needed projects in 2020. We'll be sharing a lot more about those in the days to come. The first goal is to grow our vision team by another 200 people. That simply means Compassion Radio becomes part of your regular, faithful mission giving, and at a level that the Lord enables you. I know that gifts of all sizes are exactly what the Lord uses to build His kingdom around the world. If you're on a fixed income or you run a large business, your giving matters to the Lord and to His kingdom servants. Your generosity makes it possible for us to bring you some truly amazing stories and news from the front lines of faith. Think of it this way. Compassion Radio makes it possible for God's courageous people around the world to bring you a daily gift of encouragement and inspiration. We invite you inside the greatest movements of God in the history of Christianity. They're happening right now. Is that worth something to you? I certainly hope so. It's our Vision Team members that literally keep us going day to day. You can be part of that team. Secondly, we've got a year-end budget challenge of $100,000 that we simply must meet in order to make sure we can continue on the station where you hear this program every day. I'm confident in you and the Lord's provision to make that possible. Our vision team is leading the way on this. If you haven't given in a while, would you consider joining them to meet this special appeal? Friends, thank you so much for taking the special appeal to heart. We are truly so grateful for you.
To join the Compassion Radio Vision Team, go to CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com.
Hi, this is Carl Muller. You know, for over 30 years, I've been involved in ministry around the world. From Campus Crusade for Christ, now CRU, behind the Iron Curtain and in Central Asia during the last years of communism, to working with large and influential churches like Saddleback Church as a pastor to single adults, and also to leading global ministries like Open Doors with Brother Andrew, known affectionately as God Smuggler by many millions. Also as the head of Biblica, the International Bible Society, helping more people around the world have a copy of God's Word in their heart language. Ministry to me has been the opportunity to bless people who desperately need to know the truth of the gospel and hear the compassion of God's people and feel that compassion throughout their lives. I want to heartily endorse Compassion Radio for its innovative and far-reaching stories that capture the heart, that inform people as to what God is doing in the most difficult places around the world. I've had the opportunity to travel with Norm and Cher Nelson when Norm was host of Compassion Radio. We went to North Korea together. We went to the Middle East together. Having the opportunity to travel and to see firsthand what Compassion Radio does to tell the story of Christians around the world who suffer for their faith was amazing. And now with Bram and his team, I really believe that the tradition, the integrity, and the foundation of Compassion Radio is poised for an even greater season of growth. I heartily endorse them to you, and I pray that you would be blessed by the message of Compassion Radio in your life.
I was just a child, I heard the beautiful story. How you loved me so, you died on Calvary. And though I claimed you way back then, Lord Almighty, things haven't changed. My love. still the same. You're still Lord to me. You're still. Pledged its loyalty, but as for me, when I made my choice, it was forever, just as before, but now even more, you're still
to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Global Times, I believe it was, said 5G is now officially here.
Mm-hmm.
And 5G is not just faster internet and better phone service.
Yeah, it's persistent communication.
It has to do with an ability for total surveillance.
Yeah.
And the house churches are going to have trouble hiding.
Mm-hmm.
I see a new reality for them. Now, will they stop being believers? Of course not. Will they stop sharing their faith? I certainly hope not.
Mm-hmm.
But how they meet, how they congregate will be different. The registered churches are also under immense pressure.
Yes.
And I'll give you one illustration.
Please do.
Very close friend, I'll leave it at that, pastored a registered church. He had called one of our staff and said, whenever you're in town next time, let us know, I'll come visit you. 1 week later, He was pushed from the seventh floor of his church building.
What?
He left a note talking about the challenges of leading, overseeing hundreds of thousands of believers, the struggles with the government, and, you know, it was presented as a suicide.
Yeah.
I don't believe that. I just don't.
Yeah.
There's no indication of that would have happened. He had even written, he says, I'm prepared to be the first martyr. So these antidotes, and there's many, many, many more, give us an indication that challenging times are ahead. The good news is, while some will capitulate, I believe that true believers are prepared to stand up, not to be anti-Chinese. And that's what most of us would pray, is that the government would say, these people aren't enemies of the state. They're good citizens. They're helpful. They want to do good for China. And that is my prayer, is that we can help officials understand that they can incorporate the believing community and have a stronger China, if they will.
That is something we'll echo with you, the call to prayer. We want to pray for that very thing. And I want to say on behalf of all of our listeners and our partners across this country, we are deeply grieved that you lost a personal friend, especially a servant in the kingdom like this. And we are grieved that even today, something as viscerally violent as that kind of murder would still exist in a state that supposedly is run by the rule of law, even if it's very harsh. The kingdom has lost a great servant, obviously, and we got to pray that God will use that to his glory and his purposes in spite of what man's purposes might have been. I know it weighs heavily on your heart, so I just want to say that we recognize that, and we're deeply, deeply moved by the fact that you had to be that close to that kind of persecution, but we are also grateful that you have been.
Well, your heart hurts, but in the believing community really wants to see the best for the country of China. God wants that for them. God loves that country and the people. And so anything we can do to be bridges of help, yeah, while not compromising our deepest convictions, maybe we can pray for a good outcome yet.
Amen to that. Now, when we were together last time, we talked about how many of the hidden kingdom are within this renewed Middle Kingdom, that there are so many, probably in the millions, of party members across the country that have had the gospel come alive in their hearts. And they're not just biding their time, they're quietly living out their faith in the midst of those who seem to be not just opposed to their faith, but bent on its destruction or its diminution to something that's not effective at all. And we're seeing that the persecution could ramp up in new ways against both the registered and the unregistered church in the years to come. I think back to the beginning of the church throughout the Roman Empire, that it seems like it was literally the onslaught of renewed persecutions that ended up bringing the gospel very close to the seat of power. We know that at the end of the book of Romans, that there were people of the emperor's household who actually were followers of the way because they were brought in contact with this gospel in ways that couldn't have happened had there not been a flushing out, shall we say, of the kingdom. Is something like that going to happen with China? What's your thought?
Well, historically, we can document that the growth of the church is on the back of persecution. Mm. And so any country that thinks that they can persecute the believing community and win that way is not applying a good strategy. And certainly my prayer is that the authorities in China will come to understand that. It's not effective for them, and it's not going to have a healthy outcome.
We'll hear more of this conversation next time on Compassion Radio. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.